Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Dave here. I know many of you are probably expecting a normal Geektown Radio episode this week, but unfortunately we've had to skip it due to some timing issues. We'd usually record the show on Monday. If we can't do that, we'd usually record it on Sunday. Of course, this week was Father's Day on Sunday, so that was sort of out. And on Monday, I was in London interviewing the cast of Halo, which was great fun, but meant I couldn't be here to record the podcast. Watch out for that interview coming soon to the website. However, to tide you over until next week, we have got an interview with stunt coordinator Matt Lefevre, who has worked on a huge array of TV shows and movies, both performing and coordinating stunt work. He was the stunt coordinator on the brilliant Apple TV Plus series Shining Girls, which starred Elizabeth Moss, and he also worked on the Showtime series The Chi, along with working on all three of the Chicago series, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, and PD. On the film side of things, he stunt coordinated Aaron Sorkin's six-time Oscar-nominated feature, The Trial of the Chicago 7, which earned him a SAG Award nomination for Outstanding Action Performance by a Stunt Ensemble. He has also worked on various comic book projects, including almost all of the Batman films, from Batman Begins right up to The Batman, where he served as assistant stunt coordinator. In addition to working on the DC stuff, he's also worked with Marvel because he is Chris Hemsworth's stunt double for many of his films, including the Thor movies and Thor's various other appearances in the MCU. Other projects he's been recently working on is Power Book 4 Force, and he was stunt coordinator on Mike, which is an upcoming Hulu drama based on the life of heavyweight champion Mike Tyson. Matt was really wonderful to talk to. We talk obviously about his working with Chris Hemsworth. We talk about Shining Girls and his work there and sort of what drove him to get into stunts in the first place, as it isn't exactly the most straightforward of jobs. If you'd like to hear more behind-the-scenes interviews, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast by searching for Geektown Radio. This also gives you the weekly Geektown Radio podcast, which brings you the latest TV, film, and gaming news. You can also go onto the website at geektown.co.uk for daily news stories and all the latest UK and US TV premiere dates. We will be back to a normal episode of Geektown Radio next week, but for now, here is the interview with stunt coordinator Matt Lefevre. Whereabouts are you?
So I am leaving one of my sets and heading over to the studio.
Ah, cool. Can you tell me what you're working on, or are you in top secret mode?
No, I'm on Power Book Force, the spin-off series of Force.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
So yeah, we're starting episode 2, and this morning was a rehearsal for a huge shootout and then a car hit.
Right. Nice. Good.
It was a fun day.
Yeah. It's funny how getting into car crashes is a fun day for you.
It was, it's funny because it's always great when everybody kind of steps back and has that perspective of, man, we're really doing what we love to do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. So it's lovely to be able to spend a little bit of time chatting with you and talking about just the myriad of things you've been working on. Before we get into some of the shows and things, do you want to just talk about how you got into the industry? Because I always find this fascinating with stunt people, because it's what possesses somebody to throw themselves off a building, you know?
Very much so. So the introduction to the industry was from my uncle, who's a stunt coordinator and a stuntman, long time. And he introduced me to the industry very young. It was actually 1992 was the first set I was on.
Wow.
And yeah, I dated myself. And he thought the industry was going to die. So he was like, get your education, do whatever else. And I did, and started my own business, which allowed me the flexibility to day play as a stunt player while I figured out whether or not that could become a career for myself.
Wow.
But my big break came. Everything with work is who you know and how talented you are. And if you have both aspects, you usually work all the time.
Yeah.
I lucked out. I doubled Chris Hemsworth on his first movie in the States. It was called Cash. And it created a bond that had him requesting me for several years. And that put me on a different map.
Yeah. Who you know, doesn't it? Sometimes.
It's a big jump from doing some indie stunts and a little thing here or there, doubling one act. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you ended up as his stunt double on the MCU films as well, I guess.
Yeah, Chris opened that door to the Marvel Universe, and I got to work with some big stunt groups, Brand X and 8711 specifically, and that opened doors to work potentially with other big stunt groups. And I had a mentor of mine who said the positive of that is that you'll work all the time. The negative to that is they decide a lot of your career moves.
Right.
And so I never joined a group, and they kept recommending me to other groups, which put me on a unique path that I got to work under, in my opinion, most of the legends in the business.
Yeah. I mean, you've worked on some ridiculously big films. I mean, you know, the Batman Begins, Dark Knight, Jurassic World, Batman v Superman, you worked actually on the latest The Batman film as well, more recently, and say the MCU films. Just some huge, huge things. I noticed it was around 2019 you started to transition more from being a stunt performer to actually doing the stunt coordination stuff, an assistant stunt coordinator and then sort of stunt coordinator on your own things. Was that sort of a, I need to transition out of throwing myself off things as I get older sort of thing?
Definitely. I mean, that's the one aspect of it is setting yourself up for your future. And then there's the aspect of like, I'm a student of the storytelling game, and I shot and edited a lot of stuff, and that put me in a good position to help frame things and make action look really good. That's safe and repeatable. And so went from a few opportunities to not stopping working for roughly 2.5 years.
Wow. That's good going.
Thank you.
One of the projects you've been working on quite recently is the Apple TV series Shining Girls.
Correct.
What sort of stuff are you doing on that? I'm about 3 or 4 episodes into it at the moment. It's a wonderfully strange series that seems to be a sort of thriller, but has this weird thing going on in the background of like time seems to be shifting around, which is really odd. I'm really enjoying it so far. So from your point of view, what stunts were you doing and setting up for that?
So if you're only in the beginning of like 3 or 4 episodes, I don't want any spoilers for you, but there was a lot of the stalking and like the darker murders. We did a lot of it stylistically in terms of how we shot it to make it more suspenseful.
Yeah.
But as you see, when we get into the later stuff, we did everything from escalator stairfall to hanging a guy to doing a huge car hit, guys getting shot up, and then a huge murder blast that took out a bunch of guys on high lines.
Wow. See, there's a lot more stunts in there than you maybe think there would be for a show like that. So
there's also, I don't want any spoilers on it, but there's a huge cat and mouse fight scene between the main protagonist and antagonist that we ended up shooting over the course of 5 days.
Right. That's really kind of interesting. As I say, I am really enjoying that show. It's very interesting sort of setup for it. And I've tried to get through more of it. There's been so much around right now. It's been really struggling to get through all the TV I need to get through. But that's been really good. In terms of the sort of jump between TV and film, is there a huge difference for you, or is it just the film stuff tends to be like bigger stunts?
Not necessarily on the film side. The biggest difference I would say is that in film, you usually have a lot more prep because the schedule is more predetermined.
Yeah.
TV is slightly more stressful in that you're expected to do a lot in a short time period. And a lot of times there's overlap where you're expected to be on set and prepping your next episode.
Right, yeah. That can be a lot of work.
For sure. But in terms of like the overall scope of the action, like in doing the movies and stuff, there's huge movies that they'll have 35 stuntmen and cars sliding and everything else going on. The reality is like we do some of that stuff in our TV shows too. It's just not covered like that. And it's probably like a third of the guys were expected to make it look as if it was theatrical action.
Right. Yeah. I mean, on the TV side, you have done a bunch of stunt work for the Chicago series as well, which a huge TV series. I imagine with those kind of things where you're dealing with car crashes, fires, all that sort of stuff, that must be for a stunt guy, must be a really interesting set of things to work through.
It's great in terms of having, like with Chicago Fire and Chicago PD, every episode there's, you know, fire or suspense, rigging work that would be done on fire and PD. There's lots of gunfights and cars and moving pieces. So it really gives you, especially on those shows, a lot of times the directors rotate in and out. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of different approaches to the same action, which is great. I love that.
Yeah.
I'll always have, like, when I present things, I say I've got an idea and a solution. So here's an idea to shoot it and make it look really awesome and safe and repeatable. And then tell me what you want. We're going to come up with a solution to make it look kick-ass and be safe and repeatable.
Yeah, which is important when you're filming stuff. So
that's priority number one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned you worked on the Batman. I mean, the action in that was really quite phenomenal and brutal in places as well. And a really interesting coming to such a huge character like that. How was that experience and what were some of the things that you were doing on that?
So I've been lucky. I've worked on pretty much all of the Batman movies, all of them in different capacities. We've done, like in Batman versus Superman, we did the whole car chase scene with the Batmobile was like 2 weeks of shooting. And we wrecked something like five Chargers. And that's, like I said, I love my job. Those weeks are great weeks.
Yeah.
Bring a lot of the action to life. But there's also different roles. I did more of the indie stunt roles in those, whereas in some of the Marvel stuff, I was doubling the leads.
Right. Yeah. But having been involved with the Batman stuff, did you get to drive one of the Batmobiles?
Oh, God, no, I wish. You could offer a day's pay to get behind the tumbler for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a beast of a thing. I've seen some of those up close. They're incredible vehicles.
Exactly. And they're one of a kind. They're like, so you gotta, there's only certain people that get the green light to get behind the wheel of those.
Yeah, I can imagine. So stunt doubling for Chris Hemsworth on Thor. I mean, first of all, stunt doubling for Chris Hemsworth must be quite good for the ego, I would have thought. Yeah. The fact that you could stunt double for Thor. So presumably you're wearing the costume if you're doubling for him as well.
I was definitely wearing the costume.
That must be awesome.
There was a really cool moment on the first Thor. It was this huge scene with Thor goes out after he lost his power, but he goes out to confront the Destroyer. I was on like a 250-foot traveler that picks you up like 12 feet in the air and then drops you back down into the ground. And it was a high-risk stunt. And our second unit director was Vic Armstrong, who's just an absolute stunt legend. Like double James Bond, Superman, Indiana Jones, like one of the few guys that you just get the jaw drop when you see him. It's like, Vic, you're a legend.
Yeah.
So I was standing in the middle of the street with this, you know, 12-foot Destroyer and just taking mental reps before we did the first take. And Vic walked out. I have a picture. It's pretty cool, actually. He's in his Indiana Jones hat and he just like put his arm around me. He's like, how are you feeling? I'm like, great, Vic. Just taking my mental reps, you know, like visualizing it and stuff. He goes, cool. He goes, you know, one day you're going to get to tell your kids you were Thor, right? And he just pats me on the shoulder and walks away. And I'm like, oh my God, just mic dropped on that. So
yeah, that's awesome. I've just come back from Comic-Con in London this weekend. And like, you know, some of the like people in costumes there would kill for a moment to just get into the main Thor costume. I mean, their stuff's good, but you know.
For sure. I've seen some of those costumes. They are good.
Yeah. So in your role as stunt coordinator, what's been the trickiest thing you've ever had to set up?
I mean, so there's definitely been some tricky ones to set up. A lot of times, like, there's behind the scenes work that really has to, like, there's always a budget, there's locations, there's wardrobe, there's a whole bunch of things that need to be orchestrated to give us the tools to successfully build what they want. And those are sometimes the biggest things. Like, it's not always the most elaborate stunt or the most risk intense stunt, but making sure that we can put our guys in an environment to make that action look stellar and not have to worry about whether we can get up and repeat it.
Yeah, the sort of paperwork side of things are almost kind of more complicated than the actual stunt itself.
For sure. And then also, like, when we did the World War One scene in Shining Girls, the climax is all these guys get hit with a shell and get blown up, and we have them on high lines, and these guys are actually crashing into the ground and taking really hard hits. And my rule of thumb is, like, when we do the budget, the meetings and everything, is we'll do it twice, we'll do it once, and then we'll we'll give a backup to make sure any camera things, anything that needs to be tweaked looks great. And then anything after that, it's going to cost a lot of money to keep sending the guys to the ground.
Yeah.
And then setting it up, it's great because I get huge energy from my guys knowing that I'm protecting them and have their back. And then production asks the question if they really need that third shot or not.
Right. Yeah. Outside of the sort of stunt coordination, obviously you're a stunt performer for a long time. What was the most complex thing you've had to do from the performance side yourself?
Ooh, I doubled Channing Tatum on The Dilemma and jumped off a four-story building into a tree with no ropes or catcher pads. So it was there was a 0% margin for error.
Wow.
That at night as well.
So, I mean, how do you achieve something like that? So, what are you...
Before we got to the shoot day, I had a full rehearsal day with the tree, and I started by climbing up it to know like which route I liked the best. And then I'd climb up it, and I'd actually climb off the branches and get onto the fourth floor deck and then actually take the stairs back down. And then did it a couple of times. And then I talked with our FX department and they actually used some tie down cables to take some of the bounce and the sway out of the branches, you know, so they put tension between them.
Right.
And then after I was confident that I knew the path that I wanted to take, I climbed out onto the tree and went down and then repeated the process until I felt like I could do it with some speed. And then never on the rehearsal day actually jumped into the tree. I just did quick transitions and then I went down. And then he actually goes into a free fall from like 16 feet up. I clip a branch, did a barrel roll and pancaked on the ground. It was all done practically. There was no pads on that. So
wow.
On the day we did one take and I jumped and I went through it and I went into the free fall, hit the branch and I pancaked and got up. And they, Ron Howard and our stunt coordinator, Joe Baccaro, were both happy. And I'm like, guys, I was so freaking tense. Like, I'm like, can I give you one more? And they're like, if you really want to. And I was so loose for the second one and it looked awesome. And everybody was safe and they got the shot.
Well, yeah, that's the important thing. You're okay. So, you know, that's what you want.
Exactly. That was definitely, in terms of a stunt that really elevates you and you have such a slim margin of error. So,
yeah, I can imagine. In terms of working with the actors and stuff, are there any actors that you've come across that you've actually thought, you know what, you could be doing more stunt work yourself? You know, you're really good at this.
Oh, hands down. Like Chris Hemsworth is an extremely physical guy and very talented. The reality is when you have the star of your show, you cannot perpetually put them at a high level of risk.
Of course.
Because if they go down, the show stops. So it's always great. Like, you know, I do all my own stunts, whatever. I get the buy-in and we all want to believe in the movie magic and stuff. But Chris would be at the top of the list. He would be a guy that could probably do all his stuff. Channing Tatum was extremely physical and talented as well. And then there's some guys that are, you know, capable of doing some of it too, but it still comes down to the risk reward. If you have a good double and we can shoot the action and tie it in or marry it together with like a reaction shot from our actor, like I'm all about making it look awesome and keeping everybody safe.
Well, of course. Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, last thing you want to do is get a report that Chris Hemsworth has broken something doing his stunts.
That would not be a good day.
No, absolutely not. So you're working on one of the Power series at the moment. What else have you got coming up? Anything else you could talk about?
I wrapped on The Chi, and right before that, I was down in New Orleans coordinating Iron Mike, and
right.
That had a lot of its own challenges, but it was a lot of fun. We blocked something like 26 fights and had a prison riot scene. We had lit a guy on fire. It was a fast show, like in terms of all long days, and all of a sudden you're at the end of it. It's like, oh my God, 2.5 months just flew by.
Wow. Yeah. See, as I said, for anybody else, bad day at work if you have to come home and say, oh, hi, honey, I lit a guy on fire today.
Yeah, not the worst case scenario, right?
No, I mean, that's any other job that to get you kind of, you know, a phone call to the police. But there you go. So last couple of questions for you. First one is, what TV shows are you watching at the moment?
So my wife and I finished Ozark like about a week ago. We really enjoyed Righteous Gemstones. I don't know if you saw that one on HBO.
I haven't seen it myself, but yes, I do. I'm aware of the show. I know it's really popular.
That one was fantastic for some levity, some good comedy.
Yes.
And then actually the one that I just started up that I've been playing in the background is the movies that made us on Netflix.
Yeah, they're really good, those. Yeah.
I've been very impressed. And it's obviously, it's all films in our generation, or, you know, bookending or right around our generation. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
definitely fun. And the funny thing too is the first AD on Home Alone, Jim Giovanetti, is the first AD on my Odd Episodes on Force.
Really?
I totally went in and I'm like, I just was watching your stuff last night. He's like, oh my gosh. And then you got the war stories, which is great.
Yeah, they're wonderful, those. As somebody who's a fan of film, I find that series really fascinating. And it's my generation as well. So, you know. Last question for you. If you had the opportunity to work on any TV show, can be something historical in the past, something present, or some sort of future genre, what would it be?
Ooh, I mean, there would be any period piece would be really fun. I got to work a couple days on Fargo, and I got a taste of it with the World War One scene in Shining Girls. And there's just, you know, there's like kind of already a precedent, and then you can kind of take and use some of your modern techniques and technology and play up some of those scenes, I feel like.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I'd love to see a sort of all-out action-like period piece. That would be, you know, that would be really cool.
From your mouth to my ears, David, let's get that greenlit.
Yeah, that'd be good. See, the other thing, which, you know, if you're talking about old TV shows, I'm surprised they've not remade The Fall Guy, the old Lee Majors series yet.
That would need a dusting off and a repolish.
They've done everything else at this point. I mean, you know, why not? And that was about a stunt guy, so there you go.
Go for the built-in audience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It's been lovely chatting with you. Hopefully we'll get to chat again at some point in the future. It's been really nice. I love chatting to the stunt guys because they're always really good fun. So it's been really nice talking with you, and hopefully we get to talk again in the future.
I really appreciate your time, David. Thank you so much.
No problem. Cheers.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.